Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at OnPay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we couldn't be sharing these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Scott Ryan with Mantra. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Lee. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us a little bit about Mantra. How are you serving folks?
So Mantra is sort of a next generation or reimagining of the way people do managed IT. So we do everything with a remote first mindset. So we focus on remote IT for remote offices, remote people, and remote devices.
So what was the genesis of the idea? How did this come about?
So, you know, my initial interest in managed services came back when I had sold a company to EMC, the storage guys that are now part of Dell. We had a strategic initiative to look at the managed services market and how it was affecting our business. This is going back a number of years. And that got my initial interest in the space. And then I met up with some people that I had worked with previously years ago, my business partner, Matthew Singley in particular, and started talking about the space and what could be done to innovate in the space. And that really became the genesis of it. So about 3 years ago, we acquired another small MSP in Atlanta called Midtown Technology Partners. And we used that as the base to really get the company started with the idea that we believed that software was really at the key to provide better leverage to the kinds of services that people are used to delivering, you know, kind of on site and in person. We thought could be done much better in a much more scalable way through software.
So how many iterations did it take for you to get a service that you were happy with that you knew that, hey, we got something here and we can scale this?
Well, that's a good question. You know, from a software standpoint, you know, we follow a continuous development process. And so with, you know, biweekly sprints, we're constantly creating new features and new capabilities in the software. It's really been, to answer the question maybe a little bit differently, when we got started, what I kept saying to the team was, you know, we're really still a managed IT services company with some software that backs us up with the services that we deliver. But at some point, we were going to be able to sort of turn the script around and really be a SaaS company that has a managed, you know, IT service team that can back up what we're delivering through software. And it's really been sort of mid-year of this year that I feel like we've really built enough capability into the software that we could sort of turn the company into a software company more than a services company.
Is that kind of when you cross that threshold, is that what you think brought you into the Inc. 5000?
Well, the Inc. 5000, you know, recognizes growth over a 3 year, you know, period, sort of looking backwards over 3 years. So we just got this for the growth that we've seen over the past 3 years. So what I would say that is much of a recognition of our capability to just generate business. And there's a couple of things, a little bit of it, I guess, would be software. But first and foremost was just the ability to go take the current base of customers that we had, go deliver services, we believe in a better way, more effective way, grow that base of business with new customers. And then we landed one customer in particular, which I think we have announced is Pixelot, which is a automated camera technology. They're really the leader in the space for sports automated camera technology. And with them together, they sort of led us into an area of our software that has really created a lot of, we believe, uniqueness and innovation in what we do. And in effect, what we are is doing what we call device logistics. It's sort of third-party logistics for hardware devices. And that really came to fruition a couple of years ago. And we've just sort of grown that base of software that's really on the device logistics side of our business. And then last year, early part of last year, we went through a customer discovery process with our current customers to get a better idea of, hey, we had some of the basic dashboarding, data integrations through APIs, trouble ticketing tied into the UI and through APIs. We had all that built, but we were really looking for, you know, where are the biggest pain points that our customers were seeing or prospective customers in the mid-market that we weren't, you know, doing business with today? What were the big issues? And it became really obvious really quickly that there was one issue that jumped up above everything else. You know, and it wasn't cybersecurity and it wasn't cloud management and it wasn't, you know, I guess the typical things that I guess everyone talks about.
Right. It wasn't the usual suspects.
No, not at all. And we had this, you know, sort of, we tried to create a scientific process of just, you know, asking people without presenting any options to them and then turning around and presenting options to them. And what it turned out is employee onboarding and offboarding, specifically for IT, what's called IT onboarding and offboarding, was the number one concern everybody was wrestling with. It was an issue that everyone had had prior to COVID, but COVID really exacerbated this problem, which is the fact that the amount of automation and the amount of complexity that goes into onboarding an employee or offboarding them from an IT function was really, I guess the weaknesses in those processes in most companies were really getting exposed when employees were not coming into the office, when they were being hired remotely, work remotely their whole time they were with a company, and then they were offboarded remotely and may not have ever stepped foot in an office of the companies. So how you do that effectively, cost effectively, and most importantly, in a cyber secure and compliant manner was obviously an area that a lot of our customers and prospects were wrestling with. So we built a whole module in our software we now call EX. And, you know, so we have DX is the device module, EX is the employee module. And they're really, the two modules are focused on the employee logistics around IT and the device logistics around IT.
Now, when a company gets that right, is it helping maybe retain the employees? Is it helping in the communicating the culture? Is it helping in those areas as well, or is it just kind of an efficient way of getting people into the start working fast?
I think the efficiency and sort of ROI is really the primary driver, I think, with most clients that are looking at this. I think the other two drivers are cyber compliance. So especially when you offboard an employee, if your company is in the healthcare space, so it's affected by HIPAA, or if you're in the financial services space and affected by FINRA or other regulations, you have to show that your employees only have access to the data that they should have access to, and that there is a way to log when they leave, that you really did remove their rights to use the devices that were the company devices, and you remove their credentials or rights to be able to access all the applications. And that sounds really simple, but you know, the average company now has three times more devices than they do people. The average company that's in the mid-market has over 100 SaaS applications. You know, so with each one, a different user ID and login. And we haven't run into the company yet where a single sign-on system like Microsoft SSO or Okta or one of those can cover all 100 applications. It typically will cover 20 to 30 of them. The other ones still have to be, the accounts have to be provisioned independently. So there's a security component that is a really big concern for all companies across the board. And then there is this, as you sort of imply here, there is this sort of reinforcement of a corporate culture or, you know, a corporate desire to take care of their employees in a way that they feel like they are wrapped in and, a part of the company, even though that they may be remote. And that has definitely with some of our consulting firms and tech firms, that has been a big concern for them, is that they can deliver on their promise to their new employees and ongoing employees that they will be, you know, sort of cared for as part of the family during their employment process.
Now, you mentioned not only do you have kind of this influx of remote workers, and now you have all their devices and now, you know, kind of multiple platforms that you have to deal with. And is your solution, it sounds like it's kind of agnostic. It doesn't really matter, or does it matter when they have that much complexity amongst people and devices?
Well, I would say the more complexity there is, the more value add our software provides to simplifying the workflow. So we design into our software basic workflows of, you know, from the start of, say, on an onboarding, it starts with an HRIS system integration. So that when a new employee is put into, say, Paylocity or Paycom or one of those systems, we have a webhook that would see that new employee and it immediately gets pulled into our system. And the IT department, either internal IT or, you know, employees of the Mantra, can then pick up the necessary tasks that need to be done for that particular type of employee. So in the task and workflow can be different based upon whether it's a sales and marketing or engineering or management employee, and go through the whole process. Similarly, for unpersoned devices that are working out in the field, out at the edge, independently of people, we can work the entire logistics of warehousing those devices if they want us to warehouse and inventory them, you know, dynamically showing the inventory, including latest software versions so that we can update software if it's been sitting in the warehouse too long, and then managing all the way through the forward logistics of fulfillment and pushing those devices out into the field, and then the reverse logistics of getting those devices back if they can't be repaired in the field, and then we can repair them in our facility as well. So, you know, certainly from our standpoint, the more of those, you know, overall complex functions that a customer has, the more value we can provide for them overall. And so, you know, we're typically looking at mid-market size companies. So companies that would have 100 employees at a minimum or more. Oftentimes, most of our companies are in high growth mode. So we like working with innovative companies, growing companies, companies that have sort of unique problems about edge delivery, either of devices or their people need to work out at the edge of the network, whether it's in retail or whether it's, sales or other roles where people are naturally not sitting in an office someplace. Those kinds of customers, you know, we can add a tremendous amount of value for those customers.
Now, when they're in high growth mode, are they seeing kind of the problems that, you know, they're about to see, like that are they self-aware to know that, hey, you know, we are growing fast, with these things are going to be multiplying really quickly, we're going to need a more robust solution than what we have now? Are they open to having those kind of conversations with you at that point, or that they can kind of see the future?
I wish they all did. No, I think we certainly have most companies that are out there, I think, especially companies that are executing really well and then, you know, going through a lot of growth, they're oftentimes just dealing with the things that are kind of 30, 60, 90 in front of them. And so oftentimes we are coming in, you know, trying to solve a problem that already exists, as opposed to understanding the problems on the horizon and could be a large wave hitting them soon. I think with our best customers, what they are seeing is they're seeing the beginnings of the problem. It hasn't, you know, it's bubbled up to maybe a top 10 or maybe top 5 problem, but not because it's the wheels are falling off the bus in their operation, but because they're, you know, they're visionary enough to be able to see that, hey, this is about to become a really big problem because we have more employees coming on board, or about to do a rollout to 1,000 locations of our devices, and we really don't have our processes in place. And that's exactly when we start to get engaged with customers.
So is that, that's when you would like to get engaged a little sooner though, right? In a perfect world?
In a perfect world, we would love to get involved sooner. And I think from our standpoint, as we grow, you know, part of our sales responsibility is going to be being able to communicate to prospective customers why they need to be concerned about these issues even before they think they may see them. You know, what we're really trying to help customers do is take some capabilities that have been available in software and consulting services to the Fortune 500 under multi-million dollar projects and multi-million dollar implementations, and sort of standardizing the processes a bit and saying, well, look, it's going to be semi-customized for your environment. But it's going to be much more cost effective for you to implement. So you're better off going ahead and implementing this now rather than trying to wait until you have a multi-million dollar implementation that needs to be done, you know, when you're a couple of billion dollar company. We're really looking for the companies that are growing and seeing these issues coming in front of them.
Right. Because if they see it, it's like you said earlier, when they see it, when there's, 50 or 100, and then they're going to get to 1,000, it's only going to get worse. So you better fix it now. It's like pay me now or pay me later.
Right. And, and we certainly have had implementations, where there's effectively extra money, rush fees and things that are being paid to actually get the implementation done more quickly. But I will say, maybe it's to our detriment, but our ability to integrate quickly with systems of record that most of our customers have in their operation allows us to, onboard a customer typically in 30 to 90 days, depending on the complexity of what we're getting onboarded with. And they can start seeing the value in the ROI, within that one quarter. We aren't talking about, even in the worst scenarios that we've seen so far, we're not talking about year-long integrations. I will say, though, what we often see with customers today is they'll get started with us with one particular thing that we can do. Like, hey, I really need help. I'm adding lots of new people and I need help with, onboarding those people. Or we had one large consulting firm who was actually doing a major refresh on their laptops, and they just needed everything offboarded and actually securely erased because their clients didn't want that data. They wanted proof, quite frankly, that data was not going to be knowable or seeable by other future clients. And we'll often, as I say, get involved in one particular type of project like that. And then by executing well on it, by getting used to having the visibility and the awareness, kind of up-to-date information that our software provides for them, is something that customers just aren't used to seeing, especially in the mid-market. They just aren't used to having that kind of up-to-the-minute inventory information, process, information about, where an onboarding is or where an offboarding is. And once they sort of get a taste of that, they are so far looking for us to do more for them, to give them more visibility in more areas of their operation.
So that's typically your first point of entry at this point? Like on a project, you're working on a project because they have something that they need triaged, so they bring you in to kind of solve some urgent issue?
Exactly. That is almost innately. Our typical entry points are in one of two ways. Someone has an immediate need that oftentimes comes from feeling a particular pain about maybe having trouble onboarding a lot of employees quickly, or maybe turned into a cyber compliance problem where they weren't able to prove who had access to what and what part of their operation. Or in the more favorable scenarios, we're getting a lot of referrals from our current customers. And those customers are coming in. We've signed a major television broadcast network. We've signed a major baseball league. And those purely came in by recommendations from current customers. And so we were able to be a little bit more planful in the way we are onboarding them as customers.
So what's next? Are you seeing any kind of trends in the marketplace that you think you can leverage? What's next for Mantra?
Well, for us, we're in a growth mode where what's next for us is to we actually don't have any salespeople. So the growth that we've seen so far has really been through relationships that I've had and my business partner have had. And then referrals, as I mentioned, from other customers and the inorganic acquisition that we did at the beginning of the company. For us, we're really standardizing what we're building out in the software and then building out a team internally to help us sell that. As we look at who we target, it's really for what's next, it's really expanding on what we're currently doing. So we're looking for customers that are outside the U.S. that are building hardware and are looking for sort of an engineering heavy logistics partner that can help them with the deployment of their technology in the US and Canada. So we've actually brought on one salesperson in Europe to help us find other EMEA-based companies, similar to what we've done with Pixalot, because Pixalot's actually based in Israel. And then what we also are looking to expand on is the employee side of the logistics, and the laptop and employee side of that. And that's really looking at US-based companies that are in the mid-market and that are, we would sort of broadly put into the category of information workers. So consultants, legal, tech, and media companies, where the assets that are sitting on those laptops that those employees are using actually are extremely important, or the intellectual property of the company. And because of that, those companies have a lot of worries, concerns, issues associated with the security of that information and the privacy of that information. And so we're really just looking to expand what we're currently doing into more customers of that type.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on the team, what is the website? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, so it's www.montra.io, and it's M-O-N-T-R-A. It's actually, by the way, a word in Pahlavi that means safe, protected place. It's not necessarily a play on the Sanskrit word. But if you go there and go to one of the contact us buttons, you can absolutely reach us there. And anyone that wants to reach out to me directly, they can reach me at scott@montra.io as well. And we'll be happy to answer any questions and serve anyone that's interested.
Well, Scott, congratulations on all the growth and success. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.